Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Armstrong is on the moon. Neil Armstrong, 38-year-old American, standing on the surface of the moon. On this July 20th, 1969.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Pretty amazing.
Uncle Dean, who was Walter Cronkite?
I didn't understand.
No, one small step for man, but I didn't get the second phrase.
What? Walter?
One giant Walter, please.
Someone pay attention, Walter.
Our space headquarters. Able to hear that, we'd like to know what it was.
The surface is fine and powdery. I can kick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers, powdered charcoal, to the sole and inside of my boot.
These grainy pictures that were being fed back live from the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
There you go. All right, there you go.
Being
beamed back, and what did I hear? One out of eight people on the entire globe were watching that live.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, yep. Andy and I were too young to remember.
No, don't
young,
go
yes.
there. No, Andy, I believe. Andy, I believe.
That was a year and a half.
Andy has this wonderful story about being a year and a half and playing with blocks on the floor, but he remembered it.
It was me, too.
Yeah. Different places, of course.
Yeah, we weren't playing together.
You were pushing around a shopping cart.
That would be ironic, though, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it, though?
If we were like little babies.
Like, hey, wait a minute, I remember you.
Wait a minute, hey, someday, why don't you do sports on my show someday? I like what you're spelling out with those blocks.
Uh-huh. Baseball. All right, cool.
Movies.
Yes.
And our futures were set.
There you go. That was one small step for a man and one giant leap for radio.
What was it like back then, Uncle Schwani?
What was it like back then? Well,
I have to say, I've been so not amused in a bad way, but it's your enthusiasm and your excitement, and a lot of people share this same thing about the anniversary of the moon landing. But I have known you for 40 years?
35.
Okay. Don't push it.
And I'm not going to.
Yeah. I've never seen you so excited. I've never heard you be so excited about anything. You are all jazzed up about this.
We got excited all over again when Dad and I were 3 years ago, went down to the Kennedy Space Center.
I got to say,
start it all over.
I was there last year because.
And were you not excited?
We did the interviews for this
First Man,
the Ryan Gosling movie, First Man, from the Kennedy Space Center. It's pretty cool to be there.
Yes,
and
it
you get a different sense of the majesty of what it's like to put a vehicle like that up into the air and send it to the moon. It's rather amazing to be there with all the history and. Everything that's gone on there, it is pretty cool.
Now you know what else is on my list. Now I have to go to Houston to the Space Center there, where the Mission Control Center was for all of the Apollo missions, where Gene Kranz and all the guys worked to guide the ship to and from the moon. Yeah. That's been restored now. That's open
back
to
up
the
and
public
running again.
Yeah,
I did watch some of the coverage. I think it was on the Discovery Channel. C-SPAN was running the CBS coverage, this Walter Cronkite.
Oh, the wall-to-wall coverage of it? Yeah.
They ran it in its entirety on C-SPAN yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a little bit of it. But I think it was the Discovery Channel that had kind of the history of the Apollo space mission, and we were reminded of the 1967 launch. I forget which Apollo mission it was. In which they were doing a test launch.
Apollo 1.
And three American astronauts were killed in 18 seconds in a fire that took place in the space capsule.
Yeah, on the ground.
On the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah, never even got up off the ground.
You know, Dean, what's a thing that can we draw a direct parallel with that is that was the same time that we were experiencing the big snow here in 1967.
Right.
Same couple of days.
Right. The whole thing's very interesting. But here's what I'm curious about. I mean, you know, a lot of us old timers, you know, have the memories of it all. And it's just weird that we remember something so clearly from 50 years ago, isn't it?
Yes.
Because when we were kids and our parents or grandparents would talk about something from 50 years ago, didn't it seem like ancient history?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure.
It would have been the equivalent of, say, you know, a grandparent talking about what it was like during World War One.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was like, what? You couldn't even fathom that life existed that long ago.
And here we are.
Yet here we are.
Here we are.
So, Andy,
yeah.
I mean, being a baby then, like, what does this whole thing mean to you?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was telling Shwani off the air that, and my mom kind of confirms this, because I know exactly where we were watching it. We were at my grandparents' house in Skokie, and that's what he was talking about, the building of the blocks. I was sitting in front of the TV, and I remember everybody that was there, and I was a year and a half old. I don't know how I remember that, but she confirmed that that's where we were, and, you know, I have a really vague memory of it. But you know, the thing that I wonder about, because people of my generation, I think the biggest space thing that we remember vividly was the first space shuttle launch in 1981.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that compares. Obviously this was the first time 50 years ago that anybody had stepped on the moon, but this was the first time the vehicle was able to be reused and relaunched into space.
Right. I think people remember that because of the you know, the majesty of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the space shuttle disaster that everybody remembers where you were. I was buying tires that day. I remember exactly where I was. I was in the store. I was buying tires. You know how you sit there and wait while they put the tires on the car? We're sitting in, you know, they had a TV on in the background. And this footage came up, and, you know, the space shuttle launch was taking place. I was kind of paying attention to it. And then until clearly something had happened. Something had gone wrong, and like everybody was around the TV set that was in this tire shop's waiting room, you know, waiting around, you know, to get their work done. But watching this historic moment, this tragic disaster in space history taking place. So, what does the Apollo 11 mean to you? What is the landing? Is it of significance to you, Andy, in any way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see it over and over again. And, you know, the words that Neil Armstrong uttered are infamous, of course, and you hear them all the time. It was just kind of cool because I think that, you know, you think back to, you know, 50 years in technology, how things have changed, obviously. But, you know, back then it was such a meaningful thing for everybody. It wasn't just, you know, people here in the United States. It was a worldwide phenomenon kind of a thing.
Right.
And there's obviously been movies made about it and things of that nature. But, you know, now I think nobody really has an excuse not to really know about it with the internet and everything like that. You can kind of go back and watch all that footage as well. But, you know, I think the significance for me was just, talking to my grandparents and talking to my parents about it later on after I was actually really able to remember things and kind of appreciate what happened there.
Right, or talking to Shwani.
Or talking to Shwani, yeah.
Nice to have elders around the
country. Well, you know, definitely, just to confirm these things for us.
Well, back in my day.
Uh-huh.
So, producer Ariel, who, Shwani, I don't know if you ever met the producer of the show, Ariel.
Certainly,
Ariel.
Yeah.
Because he told me he doesn't like you.
I've been told that by a number of producers.
He said that you scare him, and that you're a terror behind the scenes, apparently. Which is the reason that he's leaving the show next week. And we're losing another producer because of Shwani.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how many we've gone
through. Thanks, Andy.
He keeps eating my lunch.
See?
And you put your name on it and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's why he goes for it. He's just like, Ariel brings good food. Ariel, what would your
age? I thought it said available.
Uh-huh.
Oh!
Ariel, what is your age again?
I'm 28.
He's 28 years old.
28.
Bright young man. Now, what does all this mean to you? This must sound to you like what I was saying a minute ago. When we were your age and people would talk about things that happened 50 years ago as being, you know, from the archaic age.
Well, I think for me, the initially, my thought is I have a hard time reconnecting with it because I can watch, you know, YouTube clips and the coverage on the news and I can see what's going on and it feels so ancient. But then when people talk about it, like hearing you three talk about it now, I'm a little bit envious of you all having an experience in which you were almost emotionally connected to something that dramatically shifted the globe. I don't have anything like that. I mean, I can remember the Columbia space shuttle disintegrating when it came back into the atmosphere, and that was devastating. But obviously, that's not exactly sort of a happy moment. And I can obviously remember 9/11.
Yeah.
So my only recollection are events that reshape the globe negatively. I don't have an uplifting thing.
Yeah, I guess we haven't really had any positive thing like that.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. The whole thing is very interesting. Ariel pulled some very interesting facts about the Apollo 11 mission. Schwani, did you know that they had no bathroom on Apollo 11?
Yeah, I was aware of that. Did you also know there were no seats on the lunar module?
Well, but wait a minute. I'm not done with the bathroom part yet.
Okay.
They had to use bags.
Oh, yeah. That was the case for all of the space missions up until the space shuttle. They were using bags.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Just don't get those confused with Tang, you know.
That's just.
Yes, I knew that.
I did not know that.
I knew that.
Do you know what their first meal on the moon was?
The first meal?
Yep.
That I don't know.
Moon pies.
That would have been so awesome. They snuck some moon pies up there. Bacon and coffee.
Huh. Freeze-dried bacon.
I guess so.
I would imagine.
Yeah. The Apollo astronauts ate a lot of dehydrated beef and vegetables.
Mm-hmm. And drank a lot of Tang.
And drank. Uncle Chwani, what's Tang?
What's Tang?
What's Tang?
You know, I was this close to looking it up to see if I could get some. You know, to see if I could buy some.
Oh, you obviously don't remember what it tastes like then.
It was not good.
It was not pleasant.
What, Tang? You didn't like Tang?
It was terrible.
I liked it.
That was gross. Do they still sell it? Yes, they do. Yeah, you can still buy it. You want me to get you a case, Shawnee, on
yes,
eBay?
Yes, please do. Please do.
I'm pretty sure it's left over from 1969.
It's probably still good.
Well, if it's, you know, sure, if it's just the powder, why, you know, that'll work.
This was powder for those who are under 80 years old. Uh-huh. Don't remember this. Tang was a dehydrated orange drink. It was crystals, right?
Yeah.
Or orange crystals.
It was a little powder.
Yeah, you mixed it with water, and it became
an instant breakfast drink.
Horrendous tasting. That vaguely tasted like orange, but apparently, and the big deal was it's what the astronauts drink.
Right.
That the astronauts took it into space so they could eat it with dehydrated beef and vegetables and then get their sanitary bags out to relieve themselves. We've got lots of interesting facts and figures here about all of this. We'll talk a little bit more about this morning. We've got an abbreviated show with White Sox baseball coming up early, so we're off at 11:30 today. All the regular features, though, between now and then, Dean Richards Sunday Morning, WGN.
Far-flung forecast takes us out east to Merrick, New York.
Merrick, New York.
Merrick, New York.
Whereabouts is Merrick?
It's in Nassau County.
Whereabouts is Nassau County?
That's Long Island. See, Andy knows.
I only know that because the Islanders play the Nassau County Coliseum.
Nassau County.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, okay.
Merrick, New York. Population 22,097.
Okay. It's respectable.
The word means peaceful. Uh-huh. So Merrick is a peaceful town.
Oh, okay.
And they have a high school.
Merrick High School?
No, it's not Merrick High School.
Peaceful High School?
It's Wellington C. Mepham High School. Wellington C. Mepham High School. And there was a gentleman that went to that high school by the name of Tom Kelly. Does that name do anything to
you? Not one bit.
Tom Kelly? You don't know Tom? Well, Tom was known around town as a whiz kid, a real sharp young man.
That might explain why I wouldn't know him.
Who got all A's through school.
Not me.
You know, his friend's parents would say, Tom gets all A's. You need to study harder.
Why can't you be more like Tom?
Why can't you be more like Tom Kelly? Yeah. Tom Kelly graduated as valedictorian.
Yeah, I hate him already.
Wellington
let's
Mifflin
Andy, you
High
want to beat him up?
Let's
beat him
go.
Up.
Well, I think your admiration for him will be, your opinion of him will be changed very quickly because Tom Kelly, whiz kid, brilliant person, got a job as an aerospace engineer, and he was the one.
I smell a NASA story
that
coming.
Designed the lunar module.
How about that?
For NASA, along with his colleagues at what was Grumman Company. Now I think it's North American Rockwell, but when he was with Grumman, they got the contract to design the LEM, the lunar module. So Tom Kelly was behind that that unprecedented spacecraft to land Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the moon, and the LEM was also used in the additional Apollo flights up through Apollo 17.
Well, you know, we were talking about the, you know, everyone's talking about the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, but I saw in some of the footage the disaster of Apollo 1. The fire that took place in the space capsule during a test launch. The capsule didn't even move, but they tested it out. There were some sparks inside the capsule, which was being fed 100% oxygen.
Right.
And that ignited instantly. And by the reports that I saw yesterday, the astronauts were killed in 18 seconds. Can you imagine? What a horrible thing. But the point is that the improvements that were made, they had to go back and re-engineer everything. And I imagine this Tom Kelly guy was involved in this, where they had to go back and re-engineer everything in order to make the capsules more safe, which ultimately led to us landing on the moon.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that makes the Apollo 1 disaster even more horrible is the hatch was not able to be opened from the inside.
Yeah, it was
they could not
from the outside,
get out.
Right?
And they tried, but they couldn't do it.
Right.
And
that was one of the improvements that they made, one of the changes, is that it had. Then they redesigned it then with a lever both on the outside and the inside, much like you see on airplanes now. On the emergency exits that can be open from the outside or the inside.
Right, right, exactly.
Probably so. Those flight attendants think it's so funny when I open the door. Just get a little fresh air while you're waiting.
Or when you're 30,000 feet in the air.
Yeah,
right? That's when you try it.
Well, you'll get some fresh air then, all right.
You certainly will. Well, Merrick, New York is having a heat wave because they're involved with the high heat. An excessive heat warning for Merrick today. 87 degrees right now. They're going up to 95.
Yeah, all the stuff that
under
we
sunny
have
skies.
Has moved east.
That's right. It's their turn. So Merrick, New York, where Thomas J. Kelly went to high school, and he and his colleagues at Grumman designed the lunar module. There you have it.
Shawnee, we have
boys and girls.
We have an update on something we talked about in the last half hour, the delicious breakfast drink Tang that the astronauts used to drink.
Yeah.
People have been texting in asking who remembers what was it? The space sticks, space food sticks. Do you remember those?
Mm-mm. Space food
that they sold these. They sold, you know, when we learned
kind of like freeze dried food.
Well,
that was in vacuum packed.
I'm not 100% sure what it was. It wasn't, if I'm remembering it correctly, it was not freeze dried, but it was vacuum packed. And allegedly, what the astronauts ate, supposed to be nutritionally complete, they looked like Slim Jims.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't even know what it was, the material, but of course, we had to try it. And we did eat it, and it was gross, and it made you give you a little more appreciation. But here's our big update that apparently, Shawnee, you still can buy Tang at Walmart and on Amazon.
Okay. All right. And not only that, somebody must like it, because the information I have here says that Tang is purchased in about 35 different countries around the world and is available in a variety of different flavors, depending on where it is. Yuck is not one of them.
Yuck, gross, disgusting.
Somebody must like it. 35 countries around the world?
Doesn't mean it's good.
Uh-huh.
It just means that they have nothing else to drink.
The serving size suggested is 2 tablespoons or 31 grams of powdered orange original flavored Tang
per
8 U.S. fluid ounces of water.
Man, that's disgusting.
A single suggested serving contains 29 grams of sugar. representing 94% of the product's dry weight.
Wow, you've done some research on this. Are you doing a five-part series? And
this is healthy. There's a vitamin C in it.
How much
and
sugar?
And calcium.
How much sugar? I'll bet it's all sugar.
Well, there's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, enjoy your diabetes with it.
Somebody must like it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, 35 countries around the world.
There's something for everyone. It's just not me. That's all. Somebody texted in and reminded me that space sticks were like the consistency of a Tootsie Roll. I do remember that.
Oh, okay.
It was like mushy and gross. And
well, you've seen the old footage of the actual astronauts eating this stuff out of it, like a tube.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it was gross.
Like toothpaste.
At the Kennedy Space Center when I was there last year, you could buy dehydrated food. They sell it in the gift shops. So, of course, I bought some dehydrated ice cream and tried it. It's like taking a bite out of a styrofoam cooler. That's what it's like. That's exactly what it's like.
Eating the cooler. Not any type of real food that's in the cooler.
That vaguely tastes like ice cream. In fact, it's the reason I never became an astronaut. The food choices were too limited. Quick break, and we'll update you on what's going on with Pitchfork today that they shut down yesterday during the storm. We'll have the update on that coming up next WGN.